This is from Colossians 1, 13 through 20. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross, of His cross. And we'll sing from hymn number 85, Amazing Grace. God's will for our life comes from Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Solomon wrote this, wisest man who ever lived, but couldn't control his own life. You know, he prayed for wisdom. It came to me the other night. He prayed for wisdom to rule his people, but he didn't pray for wisdom to rule his own heart. I believe that's where he left that out. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We'll sing from hymn number. Well, at this time we'll have prayer for illumination. Lord, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You that Your word never is old. It's never that we cannot depend on it, but we can depend on Your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Your word will never pass away. And so we thank You that we can look at it today. Just give me understanding, fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and just open each one of our hearts to understand Your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll sing from hymn number 51. Come thou fount of every blessing. The reading is today on about a solid foundation. You know, what are we building our lives on? You know, this country had a solid foundation when it started, and we kind of are wandering away from that foundation, which originally was to proclaim the gospel. And so we'll look at Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Reading from the ESV, so might be a little few words a little different, but it's saying the same thing. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And then Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, in 1990, there was a number of armed robberies in the California, Los Angeles, and there were robberies for watches, Rolex watches at that time, and they were expensive watches. And this one jeweler, he died on his steps of his office because he was shot. He would not give up his Rolex watch. And so he was holding on to that. And as he was dying, he said his three names of his three children. But he died with that treasure in his heart, in his hand. You know, throughout Scripture, we have people who have shown, you know, where their treasures were and how they failed. Take Achan in Joshua 7 and how Achan had taken some silver and some gold from Jericho when they won the battle against Jericho. And then the next time the Israelites tried to go up to battle against Ai, what happened? You know, they lost their battle. And it was because of one person. One person, we think, and that what I do only affects me. Now it affects everyone around us, what I do, and the people that we come in contact with. And I remind the inmates of that as well. You think you're running your own life, but you're not really running. It's not only about you, it's about everybody else around you. And so what you do does make a difference. And so Achan, you know, had caused the whole country of Israelites to fail in their battle. And so when they stoned Achan and his family, they were able to win the battle. Because God is a holy God, God demands justice. And thankful for the cross that we get justice. God's justice has been settled at the cross. But then we look at another man, Gehazi, who was a servant of Elisha. And when Naaman came to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy, he dipped in the Jordan seven times and became clean. And so when he came back to Elisha, he said, "Can I give you some clothes, give you some money, or give you what can I give you for healing me?" Well, Elisha says, "You know, I don't want anything, I don't need anything." And what happened, Gehazi went after the Naaman and said, We changed our mind. We need some clothes, some money, and then he tried to hide that from Elisha. And when he came back to Elisha, Elisha says, "Where have you been?" And he said, "Well, I'm not doing much of anything." Well, the truth was that he had taken clothes, and the Lord revealed that to Elisha. And so the leprosy that had clung to Naaman, he said, will cling to you the rest of your life. And then David's greed, you know, with Bathsheba, he could have been satisfied without her, but because of his greed, he wasn't focusing on the Lord. He fell into sin, and it took control of his whole life. Even though the Lord forgave him, he still had to deal with the issues that it brought. And even though he did this, he was a man after God's own heart. No matter, it goes to show, no matter what we have done in our life, God, there's no sin that God can't forgive. And that's the message I get to tell the inmates. I have some inmates have said, "Well, this guy killed someone, can he go to heaven?" Well, I said, if he's truly repents of his sin and invites Christ into his life, he will be saved. And you think of Moses, how he killed a man, and God used Moses after that. As someone said, it took 40 years for the world to make Moses somebody. It took God 40 years to make Moses a nobody. And then it took another 40 years to prove that he was a somebody in God's kingdom. And so we have to get to the point in our life where we realize we're completely dependent on Jesus Christ in our life. You know, it's throughout Scripture. It talks about, you know, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot focus on two things at once, as it says in Matthew 6. It says in Matthew 6, verse 19, the actual Greek says, "Do not treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." When you think about it, the only thing we're going to take with us is other people and what we do for the Lord. We can gain a lot of things in life and positions in life, but it's only what is done for Christ will last for eternity. And so when we treasure up treasures on this earth, they will pass away. But it's very important to ask ourselves. The Lord convicts me of some things in my life where it's a battle. And I need to make sure that I'm seeking Him and His kingdom first and His righteousness. And then the Lord says all these other things will be added to you. You know, greed is a big thing. You know, J.D. Rockefeller, he had billions of dollars and years ago. And someone asked him, "How much money is enough?" He said, "Just a little more." And that's the thing. We can, you know, try to gain things. And in the world of psychology, that's a magazine. It said in one of those magazines, "It is common misperception that life will be better when I get a larger house, a nicer car, a motorhome, or I get married, or I get divorced, or I get a new job." And it says it's a common misperception that when this happens in our life, then I'm really going to be happy. And that's a misperception. And I believe the evil one uses that to try to draw our attention away from God. When this happens in my life, then I will be happy. As the saying goes, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. And so it's growing up on the farm, I know, and having electric fence, if that electric fence wasn't working, the cows knew about it and they were reaching through that fence and probably break out after a while, and because the grass was always better over there. So we have to be stewards of what we have on this earth, knowing that we are just stewards and not owners of everything we have. You know, it reminds me of a time when I bought a cell phone. I knew in my heart that the Lord didn't want me to do this because it was an expensive phone. But I wanted to do it. And for 2 years I was stuck with that thing and I didn't even know how to run the thing. And so it was, I was sorry I did it, but I did it because I wanted to do it. And I was getting my focus off God and doing what I wanted to do. You know, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, be content with such things as you have, and having godliness is the most important thing. You know, Jesus needs to become our treasure, and everything on earth here is uncertain, but Jesus is certain. And He will never let us down. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we go through difficulties in life, we don't turn to the things we're building up in this life. We turn to family. We turn to God because we know He is solid foundation. And we know that His Word never changes. And we can find help in the time of need. And that's the awesome part, is that, you know, God isn't like a man who says, well, you know, I promised that, but I changed my mind. You won't find that in Scripture. When He says something, He says, and when the Scripture says, I will never leave you or forsake you, when you have committed your life to Christ, that's what He means. He will never leave you. Never, never. It's He says it twice to make sure we know that He will never, never leave us. You know, in a world that's falling apart, that's very comforting to know that when we have Jesus in our life, no matter what happens in this life, no matter what happens in this country, we know that God is in control. He will not forsake His people. And He never has, He never will. And that's a good thing. So when in verse 22, when it talks about the eye as a lamp of the body, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And if Christ isn't in our life, we really have a problem with sin, and we can't have that close relationship with the Lord. And we were made to have fellowship with the Lord. We were made to enjoy the Lord. See, the Lord didn't have rules and regulations to make us miserable. He had rules and regulations so that we could enjoy life and enjoy God. And the devil likes to tell us, you know, it won't hurt this one time. And most of the guys in prison will admit, yeah, that's what they thought. One time isn't going to hurt. And one time did hurt. One time did make a difference. And so it's a lie from the evil one. So if we fill our lives with the things of God, and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, everything else will fall into place. You know, Peter, 1 Peter 1:3 says that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, fade, or spoil, which is reserved in heaven for us. And we are kept by the power of God through faith. And what saves us? We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, in my life, it wasn't until I was about 37 that the Lord did a work in my life. And I went to church. I was doing all the right things. I went to church twice on Sunday, maybe Wednesday nights. And when I got married at 20, I thought, sure, you know, I want God to be the center of my life. And I did all the right things, but I was always trying to please Him, always trying to say, Lord, what do you want me to do next? Until one day, when I was going through difficulties in my life, he said, he convicted me of the sins of my youth. And I started realizing that God is very intimate. And it's not just about confessing my sins every day. It's about having a personal relationship with Him. Before that, I would say, forgive me for all my sins. But after that, I realized that He is very personal about individual sins in my life, and that I'm not under the law. He loves me as much as He's going to love me and you. We can't change that. He loves us, and He died for us. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. And that's the awesome thing. We're under grace, not under the law. He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so, you know, it's our biggest thing we have to work on, each one of us I have to work on, is focusing on Jesus. Because I know the New King James says that if we have a single eye, you know, if our eye is single, if we're not focused, how many of us can focus on two things at once? I can't do it. And so when our main focus is on Jesus, then things work out better, and then we have fellowship with God. And make sure that there's no sin that's between us and God. One of the inmates who had said he wanted to clean up his life, and he said, well, I had a talk with him earlier, and I said, make sure that, you know, whatever's going into your mind is not evil, any evil stuff. I know you can't control all the circumstances of the people around you, because there is a lot of sin and negativity around people in prison, because most of the people are not following Jesus. There's a small percentage. And I said to him, to make sure, according to Psalm 101, you set nothing wicked before your eyes. And I said, how's that going? Well, he said, it's about 50-50. I said, no, you can't do 50-50. You have to make that decision to clean up your life and what you allow to come into your mind. And what are we listening to? What are we looking at on TV, and magazines? Make sure that it honors God, and that we are not allowing the world to squeeze us into its mold. And we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so where is our foundation? Our foundation needs to be, as Christians, on Jesus Christ and His promises, and have that fellowship with God. It says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so it's very important that we make sure that we are focusing on Jesus and seeking Him first and His kingdom, and not depending on going to church, going through the motions, which I did for 37 years until Christ made it very personal. And so for each one of us, we recognize that when we make it personal and invite Christ to take over our life and commit our life to Him, that and repent of any known sin, that He's right there for us. There's no greater love than this, that Jesus has laid down His life for us and paid our debt. You know, when you think of it, who else has died on the cross for you? I asked the guys that. Well, they said, I guess no one. And you know, only Jesus can take away our sin and give us peace. And that's what I enjoy seeing in people, is when they surrender their life to Jesus, and a peace that comes over them, and a joy that they have Christ now in their lives. And that doesn't mean it's easy to live the Christian life. It's definitely not. But it's the best way to go. And so, where are we building our life? Is it on Jesus or things of this earth? We need to focus on Jesus. Jeremiah 9:23 says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising righteousness, justice, and judgment in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And so it's depending on recognizing that the Lord will never leave us. As 1 Corinthians 3 says, there is no other foundation than that is laid, is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He is the chief cornerstone that we turn to day in and day out, and that we want Him to be the center of our life, and to know that He is our life, even in the midst of turmoil in this country. He is that solid rock.